Hello and welcome to Volume 44, Number 25 of your weekly local news magazine, Grapevine. Brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association, this edition is published on Friday the 21st of June 2024. Hi, I'm Graham, your presenter, joined this week by newsreader Margaret. And in this week's issue, they're digging up the marketplace yet again. A severely singed pub could be demolished. Out There was a resounding success. And why a local man is a plonker. In addition, Andy finds some local expressions you may or may not have heard before. All this coming your way during the next hour or so. But first, it's the birthdays. Two ladies to congratulate this week, as Carmel Stokes is celebrating on Monday the 24th, followed in short order by Patricia Johnson on Tuesday the 25th. Very best wishes to both of you. Right, it's news time, so over to Margaret.
Hello everybody, yes it's me again, it's Margaret. And I've had a significant birthday since I spoke to you last time, another year older, good Lord. Anyway, I now get an extra 25 pence a week with my pension, so hooray for that. And this was one of the cards that I had. I'll just read it out to you, and it says, at our age you realise something very important. Then, poof, it's gone, and you can't remember what the hell you were just thinking about. And that comes with love from Desney. Thank you, Desney. Right, so, if you're sitting comfortably, here we go with the news. Great Yarmouth Council could force pub demolition. The Town Council is considering using legal powers to force the demolition of a fire-ravaged historic pub that has become the centre of a scaffolding controversy. For the last 2 years, the Havenbridge pub in Great Yarmouth has been held up with scaffolding after it was destroyed in a late-night fire that ripped through the building. Surveyors have said the scaffolding cannot be removed, as this would mean a vital road leading into the town would have to close due to the risk of it collapsing. After failed attempts to urge the owner and leaseholder to take action, Great Yarmouth Borough Council may now spend £120,000 to force a resolution, with the demolition of the 19th century pub its favourite option. The authority has already issued a Section 79 notice to the freeholder at the start of this month, which will require the renovation or demolition of the dilapidated building within 6 months. If this is not complied with, GYBC will take action. Officers have estimated making the building safe would cost £550,000, while demolition would only likely run up to £100,000. Selling the site after the pub is reduced to rubble could fetch up to £75,000, meaning the council will likely lose money through the transaction. Havenbridge has become a huge point of controversy in the town since it was left a ruin following a fire in March 2022. GYBC says it regularly receives complaints about the state of the building, which sits next to one of the main entry points into the town. Businesses near the site have faced a drop in trade due to the closure of the adjacent Steam Mill Lane. Following the blaze, local firm KB Scaffolding was brought in to make the building safe. However, the firm's owner, Michael Black, is yet to receive a penny for their work and has estimated the bill has now reached more than £400,000. The company is now threatening legal action against the council to recover these costs. But the authority disputes being responsible, believing the cost of the scaffolding should instead fall on the leaseholder or freeholder. The matter will be discussed at a scrutiny committee meeting on Tuesday, June the 25th. And a story now about our marketplace. A major revamp of the outside area surrounding the town's new marketplace is set to begin next week in a drive to boost shops and traders. The next stage of refurbishment for the marketplace in Great Yarmouth will start on Monday, June the 24th, with plans to install new paving, benches, lighting and planters. The facelift is designed to encourage people to spend more time in the town centre, while preserving its history and helping to support shopping and dining activities. A schedule for the revamp has been planned to minimise disruption to local businesses, traders and residents. The first phase of the improvements will start at the north end of the marketplace outside the Fisherman's Hospital. At the same time, work will begin on the east side of the covered market and at the two-day market area to the south. Improvements will also be made to the area at the end of St Nicholas Road and the main pay and display car park. For the duration of the work, the two-day market will be relocated to the northern side of the covered market before locating back to the southern piazza area. Pedestrian access and routes for deliveries will be maintained while the work takes place. A spokesperson for Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "This exciting and high-quality regeneration will provide a major enhancement of the marketplace, creating an attractive, successful and vibrant space for Great Yarmouth. Coupled with the new covered market and the work to revitalise the former Palmer's Department Store into a new community library and learning hub, we will have a town centre that can thrive for years to come. The entire scheme is scheduled to be completed by April 2025, with the project being funded under the government's Future High Street Fund." And this is quite an important piece of news. It's about a surge in demand at our hospital. The James Paget University Hospital has warned patients to only attend at A&E in a genuine emergency. The hospital is directing people to the 111 service, GP or pharmacist, after a surge in demand. In a statement on its Facebook page, it said, "Our hospital is really busy. Please use 111 first and only come to A&E if it is a genuine emergency." The hospital has advised people who need medical help but don't know which service they need, or if it's urgent but not an emergency, to use the NHS 111 service, first by dialing 111 from any phone or by going online. https://111.nhs.uk/. A man convicted of a child sex offence has had his case adjourned so he can sort himself out and get some legal representation. John Horn, 62, had previously admitted a charge of attempting to engage in sexual communications with the child. Horn, of Alderson Road, Great Yarmouth, appeared at Norwich Crown Court on Monday to be sentenced for the offence, which happened in February this year. But the case was put back as Horn appeared in the dock without legal representation. Adjourning the case until July the 1st, Judge Andrew Shaw said he was giving Horn 2 weeks to sort it out and find himself some legal representation. Horn was granted unconditional bail. And this is some good news for Galston. Empty for 15 years. New owners have taken over a yet-to-be-finished nursing home development in Galston, which broke ground 15 years ago. The Harbour Quay development, which has been standing empty on Riverside Road since the early 2010s, has been taken over by Norwich-based firm Peter Colby Commercials and is currently on the market for £6 million. "We certainly do not want to keep this empty for another 5 years," Mr. Aldous said. "We are talking with different end users to decide whether they will purchase as is or whether they would like us to finish the building ready for them to enter." While Mr. Alder said the development had been built to a very high quality, he admitted the premise's biggest issue is its 20 parking spaces. Currently built as a nursing home with space for 60 beds, Mr. Aldous accepted the lack of parking could put off potential buyers. However, the firm also owns the 5-plus acres of land by Dock Tavern Lane, and Mr. Aldous said that part of that plot could be used as additional parking. "We would say 4/5 of the work has been done," Mr. Aldous said, "and our priority is finding an end user, which will most likely be a residential care home. If that's not feasible, it will not sit empty for another 5 years. Mr. Aldous said, "Other viable options include reverting the rooms to apartments or converting the property into dormitories for students or workers if demand grows." When planning was approved for the 5-storey property in 2005, it was originally intended to become 3 separate blocks containing 24 apartments between them. However, a change of use from apartments to a care home was granted to then-owner Scrooby Fair in 2013, including plans for the 3 blocks to be conjoined on 4 floors. 5 people were taken to hospital after a serious crash on the A47. The collision between a Maserati Quadroport and a yellow Seat Ibiza left the Seat driver and 3 passengers with serious injuries. Dramatic images have been released showing the aftermath of the crash, which saw a fire crew use hydraulic rescue equipment to cut the car in 2 and free the passengers. The photos were released by the partner of the woman who was driving the Seat, whose son has now been transferred to Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge. The road was closed for several hours after the crash at 11:30 a.m. last Saturday. The driver of the Maserati was also injured and taken to James Paget Hospital for further care. Officers would like to speak to anyone who may have witnessed the collision or the man of driving prior to the incident. A shoplifter who stole thousands of pounds worth of chocolate has been remanded in prison despite begging the judge. Kyle Nunn, 32, pleaded guilty to multiple thefts of confectionery and other items, including coffee and meat, totalling £2,500. Norwich Magistrates Court was told all the thefts had occurred at the same branch of the Co-op on Hall Road in Norwich in May and June. He also admitted damaging the front door of a woman's house on June the 1st and breaching a suspended sentence. Nunn, of Seaforth Drive, Hopton, got down on his knees in the dock as he pleaded to be spared being remanded in custody. Deputy District Judge Sandeep Pakiana told him he had grounds to believe he would commit further shop thefts if released. He was remanded until his sentencing at Norwich Crown Court on July the 22nd. Nunn has a previous long history of offences, including staging his own violent kidnapping in a bid to get his own family to pay a £400 ransom. Lucy Brakewell, mitigating, said, "This is someone who's desperate for help." However, the court heard he had failed to keep any appointments for drug rehabilitation treatment required as part of his previous suspended sentence. Parliamentary candidates who have been invited to see the extent of erosion suffered in Hemsby. Save Hemsby Coastline, SHC, and Hemsby Independent Lifeboat took 2 Great Yarmouth general election candidates out to sea over the weekend so they could get a fresh perspective of the damage the village has suffered over the past decade. Reform's Rupert Lowe and Labour's Keir Cousins were taken out in lifeboat vessel to see firsthand the changing face of the beach area. Afterwards, both candidates were asked what they would do to ensure government sea defence funding if they were successful. we're asking all candidates to come by so they can tell us what they would do to make funding available, Mr. Measures said. And not just in Hemsby, but for all coastal communities at risk. Because at the moment it's simply not fair. Conservative candidate James Clark was also invited, but did not take up the invitation. Mr. Measures said the invitation is still open. And some lively noise ahead for Caister. The festival returns. Caister Festival with live music, a fun fair, food trucks and hundreds of stalls returns on June the 29th and the 30th. A full weekend of family entertainment has been planned and thousands are expected to flock to the festival on Caister playing field over the 2 days. Festivities will include dance performances, a dog show, a petting farm, a dinosaur installation and an appearance by the Ghostbusters. A fun fair with bouncy castles and a huge slide will provide plenty of entertainment for children. More than 100 stalls from local crafters and small businesses will be set up at the festival, with 8 different food stalls offering a range of cuisine, with classics such as burgers, chips and ice cream. A petting farm will also see alpacas and miniature donkeys welcoming visitors, alongside a display of fire engines, the local police and the Caister lifeboat team. Live music will entertain the crowds on Saturday and on Sunday. There is a separate ring hosting a dog show where pets can be registered on the day for different prizes. Run by a small group of volunteers, the annual event, which runs from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday and from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, has grown from a one-day festival to a weekend-long celebration. Kevin Wood, the chairman of the parish council and head of the festival committee, said, "We're so excited for the event. We're glad the weather is finally turning around. We try to raise the bar every year, so this year it's going to be bigger and better than ever. All donations raised at the Caister Festival will be invested in a new sensory garden at Caister Playing Field."
See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, do a turn or a turn of 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. When our grandpa, when our daddy, when our mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing. See, we're always happy, last we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah, we're happy, da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da, da 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 da,
alright, alright,
da 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 da. Summertime and we'll sing again. We go driving or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends and we'll all go into town. Summertime when the weather is high.
See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, do a turn or a turn of 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by. When I grab people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. We're always happy, life's for living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah, we're happy, happy. Da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da.
Well, no news from Vision Norfolk this week, so I thought we would have a quick 1970s style celebration of summer's arrival, hopefully, with that one from Mungo Jerry. OK, back to the news, followed very closely by Andy with some weird Norfolk expressions.
East Coast College's support for international education has been recognised at a Royal Garden party. College representatives attended the prestigious event, acknowledging their efforts in promoting global educational opportunities for students. Assistant Principal Holly Chase and Curriculum Manager Helen Quinn represented the college at Buckingham Palace, where their dedicated work was celebrated by the Prince of Wales and Princess Eugenie. In collaboration with the Turing Scheme, the college managed to secure significant funding, enabling students studying in Lowestoft and Great Yarmouth to embark on educational trips worldwide. Destinations included New Zealand, Vietnam, South Africa, Italy, California, and Germany. These experiences offered students the chance to expand their perspectives, engage with diverse cultures, and progress their career ambitions on an international level. Speaking of the recognition, Mrs. Chase said, "The recognition at Buckingham Palace is a testament to the hard work and dedication of our staff and the transformative impact these international experiences have on our students." Despite the rain, the atmosphere at the party remained vibrant, and the occasion marked a significant milestone for the college in the funding which has been secured. East Coast College childcare student Ethan enjoyed his transformative journey to New Zealand through the Turing Scheme. He said, "The experience changed my life. Going to New Zealand pushed me out of my comfort zone and my confidence soared. I learnt so much about their education, and this will help me become a much better practitioner." The exploration of international education continues to be promoted at East Coast College, encouraging young individuals to challenge their local boundaries and prepare for thriving in a globally connected society. The Turing Scheme is a UK-based programme that assists further education colleges in offering life-changing global study opportunities to foster personal growth and professional development. And I must say, reading that, I look back to my days at the convent school, and we had an annual trip to Cromer to sing in the school's choirs competitions. How lucky, honestly, these children are today. Well done, all of them. And this is very sad. The family of an independent 96-year-old who died after falling at home has praised the fantastic staff at the James Paget Hospital. The heartfelt praise was expressed at an inquest into the death of Stella Payne of Bradwell near Great Yarmouth. Norfolk Coroner's Court heard how Mrs. Payne had been found on the floor of her kitchen in Bradwell Avenue on February the 16th. Her daughter, Barbara Robinson, had carried out a welfare check on her after Mrs. Payne failed to ring her at an agreed time. The retired factory operative was taken to James Paget Hospital in Galston, where she was found to have a broken thigh and a damaged kidney. Despite an operation, she died at the hospital the following day. Mrs. Robinson said, The doctors and nurses did a fantastic job looking after her. The care at the hospital, we could not have asked for better. The court, based at County Hall, Norwich, heard that Mrs. Payne lived alone and was very independent and looked after herself by doing her own cooking, washing and housework. Mrs. Robinson added, she didn't ask for help from anybody. Mum was healthy. I can't remember the last time she had a cold, but she was a bit unsteady on her feet, so always used her walking stick. Her GP from the Millwood Surgery, Great Yarmouth, described her as being in good health, with a remarkably sparse medical history, given her age. The primary medical cause of death was given as acute renal failure. Area coroner Samantha Goward concluded that she died as a result of the consequences of an unwitnessed fall at home. Mrs. Payne, née Church, had been born on September the 12th, 1927 in nearby Borough Castle and was the widow of lorry driver Cecil Payne. An election candidate whose CV includes stints working at the UN and for Barack Obama's White House campaign is standing to become MP for Great Yarmouth. Fiona Todd, who also worked for the World Health Organization, is running as the Liberal Democrats' representative. She admits the Yarmouth contest is likely to be a two-horse race between Labour and the Tories, although Reform is quickly rising in the polls. She believes the two main parties are failing voters. A politics based on values is sorely missed currently. Both parties fail to show vision or be inspiring. This was the key to the success of Barack Obama's campaigns. As well as working for the former president, Ms. Todd, who lives in Cambridge, has also worked in Parliament for the Liberal Democrats as a researcher and advisor on foreign affairs, and is currently a non-executive director of the Joseph Rowntree Reform Trust, a group campaigning for electoral and democratic reform. My experience means I would be able to get going from day one. The people of Great Yarmouth deserve an MP that will put them first and stand up for the community. That is what I would do if I was elected, she added. Improving NHS services and stopping sewage flowing into our beaches and rivers are some of the key issues Miss Todd has been discussing with people on the doorstep. The situation with our waterways is abysmal, and we need to have a tougher stance on water companies, said Miss Todd. The general election is the second time Miss Todd has tried to become a Norfolk MP, after a failed attempt in 2017 running against George Freeman in mid-Norfolk. New landlords at a Norfolk village pub said they had received a warm welcome as the premises reopened following weeks of closure. The Farmers in Ormsby St Margaret has been taken over by former staff members Harry Daisley, 23, and Tallulah Campfor Wood, 19. Reopening the popular village haunt near Great Yarmouth on May the 24th, the couple, who used to wait tables and work in the kitchen under the pub's previous landlord, said the past 3 weeks has brought some of the busiest they had seen since they previously began working there last year. Mr. Daisley from Ormsby previously worked in the kitchen. He said becoming the new landlord has given him the chance to know regulars a lot better. It's a close-knit village and everyone knows everyone, so it's been great to talk to regulars rather than being hidden away in the kitchen all the time, he said. People have been really supportive. I think they like having a pub on their doorstep, and it's the only one left in the village. It's been great seeing the beer garden full regularly since we took over. Miss Campfor Wood said she is striving to have different entertainment at the pub, which currently has live music every last Friday of the month and a pub quiz each Wednesday from 7:45 p.m. It's essential this place stays a hub for the community, Miss Campfor Wood said. When it closed in April, Harry and I were gutted. When we got the chance to take it over, we knew it was a massive opportunity and things are working out well. Alongside regular tipples, The Farmers is offering a selection of Norfolk and Suffolk beers and spirits. The new landlords have also bought a coffee machine and have started a lunch menu with sandwiches, burgers and specials. The couple plans to bring back an evening menu over the coming weeks. The former Labour leader, Ed Miliband, pledged a windfall tax on oil and gas will pay for a clean energy revolution as he visited the East Coast. Visiting East Norfolk Sixth Form College in Galston, the Shadow Energy Secretary said he could see the future unfolding as he encountered students keen to see more investment in renewables, both for lower energy bills and better opportunities on the job market. Mr. Miliband, who visited the college with Shadow Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson and parliamentary candidates for Great Yarmouth and Lowestoft, said there is huge potential for the area. When I was talking with young people here, they were aspiring advocates for jobs in the renewable sector, said Mr. Miliband. And with Great British Energy, a new publicly owned energy company, we think this could create jobs in Great Yarmouth. And with Keir Cousins banging on my door, he will be making sure that Great Yarmouth gets its fair share. The former Labour leader said if his party wins the election on July the 4th, Labour will get going from day one on projects like Great British Energy. Despite Keir Starmer rowing back on the promises of scrapping tuition fees in 2020, Shadow Educational Secretary Bridget Phillipson said there is much hope for students in Norfolk. We will deliver more apprenticeships for our young people so they get the chance to succeed, Miss Phillipson said. And right here in Yarmouth, we've got the potential for lots more highly skilled, well-paid jobs people can benefit from. Miss Phillipson said Labour's national pledge for 6,500 new teachers, 3,000 new primary schools, and apprenticeships and technical colleges will be funded by adding VAT on private school fees. When asked whether Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer will be making another trip to the town, Mr. Cousins made no promises. But he added, there's lots happening for the final 2 weeks of the campaign. The Conservatives are facing a total wipeout in Norfolk at next month's election, with no MPs elected to Westminster for the first time in the party's history, according to a shocking new poll. The survey by respected polling firm Survation indicates a political revolution is underway in a region that has long been considered true blue. It predicts that Norfolk and Waveney will return a total of 8 Labour MPs, 2 from Reform and 1 Liberal Democrat. Among the defeated Tories will be the former Prime Minister Liz Truss in south-west Norfolk and ex-Science Minister George Freeman in mid-Norfolk, with the poll predicting they will see their respective majorities of 26,195 and 22,594 overturned. Both constituencies have returned Tories for generations, and the result, if it comes to pass, will be the first time since the Conservative Party was formed after the Great Reform Act of 1832 that he has not had a single MP in the county. Survation's survey, which was published on June the 15th, is based on so-called MRP analysis, or multi-level regression and post-stratification analysis. This is a modern modelling technique which combines very large polls with other sources of information, such as census data and local level of support for parties in the constituency. The poll will make devastating reading for the Conservatives, who have struggled to close the gap in national polls since Rishi Sunak called the election. Last month's election for the Norfolk Police and Crime Commissioner gave an early clue of their possible local fortunes. After Labour topped its first county-wide poll in generations, with Sarah Taylor defeating Tory candidate Giles Orpen-Smelly. The Salvation Survey predicts victories for reform in Great Yarmouth, where Rupert Lowe is standing for the party, and Northwest Norfolk for Phil Walton. It suggests the Liberal Democrat Stephen Aquarone will take North Norfolk from Tory incumbent Duncan Baker. However, the survey suggests the results will be extremely close in several Norfolk and Waveney seats, giving Conservatives hope they may yet improve their fortunes. And some more news from Galston. Some 12 years after the landslip shut one half of the White Line steps connecting Cliff Hill and Beach Road in Galston, work has finally begun. The landslip in April 2012 narrowly missed a 12-year-old boy, and one side has been blocked off ever since. In May this year, Norfolk County Council, as owner of the steps, confirmed the site will be closed until September the 6th for restoration work costing £600,000. And Graham Plant, Cabinet Member at County Hall for Highways, Infrastructure and Transport, has now given an update on the work. Since May the 20th, he said, the restoration site has been set up and preliminary works have been carried out, including the installation of the above-ground water mains diversion, as well as a drainage investigation and ground-penetrating radar survey. The main repair work will begin on Tuesday, June 11th, with the reduction of the ground level on the private land adjacent to Cliff Hill, allowing works to start on the retaining wall. Last month, Great Yarmouth Borough Council granted permission to build the new retaining wall along the south side of the steps. And this will allow the reopening of the second flight of steps that have been closed since the landslip. The steps are an important local feature, and at their lower level they are adjacent to the historic Admiral Duncan's Pump, which dates from the Napoleonic era. A planning document states that the repair work will mean there should be less runoff water moving the steps over from upper to lower levels. Approving the application, planning officers said the proposal will improve the public realm and have public safety benefits that extend beyond the site. They said the work will return the steps to public use for greater accessibility and movement.
And another in the Weird Norfolk series. Not for ghosts and ghoulies, this one. This is 20 strange old Norfolk sayings, and I'm sure you'll know some of them. So, in a bid to bring you unusual and quirky stories about our fine county, Weird Norfolk spends a great deal of time researching the most curious corners of the library. And this trip down the rabbit hole concerns the phrases that were once commonplace amongst our great-grandparents. But do you recognise any of them? In the main, these proverbs come from a book with the kind of title that requires a deep breath before you attempt it, without surfacing for more air. The Norfolk Garland, a collection of the superstitious beliefs and practices, proverbs, curious customs, ballads and songs of the people of Norfolk, as well as anecdotes illustrative of the genius or peculiarities of Norfolk celebrities. And it was published in 1872. The Gerald and Sons book was compiled and edited by John Glyde and is a joyful collection of oddities. This is where to go if you want to know how to inform your bees of a death in the family, and where you go to enchant a lover back to your side. The proverbs in the book are an incredible snapshot of a life now lost, but it is important to remember where we have all come from and the old ways we have all but forgotten. As Glyde puts it, the student of humanity can ne'er afford to neglect or pass by the proverbs of a people. They generally inculcate patience, frugality, manly independence and perseverance, and embody good sense, natural equity, and a spirit of kindness. A few of the below are from the vocabulary of East Anglia, an attempt to record the vulgar tongue of the twin sister counties Norfolk and Suffolk as it existed in the last 20 years of the 18th century. And that was published in 1830 and written by the Reverend Robert Forby, who was a rector at Fincham. So, let's have a look at these old Norfolk proverbs, some a little more straightforward than others. And the first proverb? There's a scabby sheep in every flock. Meaning that both every family has at least one member that causes them issues. But it comes from, if only one sheep has sheep scab, which is an acute form of allergic dermatitis caused by a mite, it can inflict the whole flock. Meaning one person with a bad attitude can spread it to everyone. Second one. I wasn't born in a wood to be scared by an owl. Meaning, of course, I'm not as easily frightened as you might think. And next one. Lawrence has got hold of him. Now, this is a bit harder. And it stemmed from a popular story called The History of Lawrence Lazy, first published in 1670. Lawrence has a magic ring which can send everyone around him to sleep. This enables him to play various tricks on people, for which he is eventually put on trial. He is acquitted after earnestly pleading from apprentices who say that if it not for him, they'd be worked to death. And the next one. You must eat another yard of pudding first. And the meaning is you'll have to wait until you get old before you can do whatever it is the person wants you to do. But I've no idea what sort of pudding comes by the yard. Number 5. To go down the red lane, which means to put something down someone's throat. Number 6. He has a Friday look, meaning he's had enough and is sulking. And the next. You may know a carpenter by his chips. The nature of a person's job or interest can be demonstrated by the traces they leave behind. It also came to mean someone who had a big appetite who left behind lots of bones on their plate. And number 8. Don't be a gape seed. A gape seed is someone who finds something so strange, interesting or unexpected that they stare at it with their mouths wide open. And number 9, this is a new one. Go to Bungay to get new bottomed. I don't know whether you thought that meant, but it may sound like a euphemism. Brewer's Dictionary of Phrase and Fable suggests this dates to the time when Bungay was well known for producing leather items such as workwear. And when the backside wore away from a pair of breeches, people from Norfolk will go to Bungay to purchase a new pair or have theirs repaired. And number 10, slightly ghoulish, a ground sweat cures all disorders, meaning you don't suffer when you're dead and buried. Number 11, I gave it to him as it came from the mill, undressed. And undressed refers to the bran and flour mixed together before the flour was graded or sorted for quality. And it means someone speaking their mind without trying to sugarcoat what they're saying. And the next, he lies bare of a suit, meaning he was so poor there was nothing to bury him in. And it also refers to someone sleeping who has no good clothes. And the next, she has laid a stone at my door, meaning she's fallen out with me. A stone left at the door was a reminder not to bother knocking again. And number 14, a hog would have grunted, meaning even a pig would have acknowledged me. Oh, and this sounds like a church one. Number 15, He does the devil's work for nothing. Meaning, generally, it's said of someone very keen on using bad language. Number 16. The dog that fetches will carry. Someone who tells you gossip will tell tales of you as well as to you. That's one to think about. Number 17. Elbow grease gives the best polish. The harder you work, the better the result. And a nice one. God's lambs will play. And the meaning, young people will mess around. This was particularly used when a young person who was generally well behaved was caught being indiscreet. Number 19. Nip a nettle hard and it will not sting you. And as a proverb, this means if you're measured and decided in difficult situations, it will be more helpful than taking too long or being too cautious to act. And the last of 20. He's got the fiddle but not the stick. Meaning, he's got all the books but he's not clever enough to know how to make use of them. So there you are. Some sayings which are a bit more obvious than others. And some which are rooted in much older times.
Rabbit, 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 rabbit. You've got a beautiful chin. You've got beautiful skin. You've got a beautiful face. You've got taste. To break my heart in two, I knew right off when I first kept my eyes on you. But how was I to know you've been my heroes too? With your incessant talking, you're becoming a pest. Rabbit, 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 rabbit. Now you're a wonderful girl. You got a wonderful smell. Charm. You got wonderful hair. We make a wonderful pair. Now I don't mind having a chat, but you have to keep giving it that. No, you won't stop talking. Why don't you give it a rest? You've got more rabbit than Sainsbury's. It's time you got it off your chest. Now you were just the kind of girl to break my heart in two. I knew right off when I first clapped my eyes on you. But how was I to know you'd bend my ear holes too? With your incessant talking, you're becoming a pest. Rabbit, 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 rabbit. Yep, yep, rabbit, yep, 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 rabbit, rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit, yep, rabbit, rabbit, bunny, rabbit, jabber, jabber, rabbit, rabbit, yep, yep, rabbit, rabbit, bunny, bunny, yep, jabber, rabbit.
The Cockney couple there, commenting on our rabbiting local expressions. Chas and Dave, of course. OK, it's time to get fully up to date with the local news, so it's back to Margaret.
And this is a lovely story. Ghost and man in Only Fools and Horses. You would be a right plonker to turn down an opportunity like this. When Tom Major from Galston took his very first audition, he didn't expect it to turn out quite so cushy. The 22-year-old embraced the mantra of "He who dares wins" and bagged the lead role of Rodney in the upcoming TV and island tour of Only Fools and Horses, the musical. Mr. Major will be treading the boards as part of a 10-month tour from September. "It was surreal when I found out," said Mr. Major. "It was the first audition I had, and I didn't know what to expect. I feel so incredibly lucky. not just about getting the part, but also the great support from everyone where I have trained and from my family. Mr. Major's mother, Julia, said she was bursting with joy when she found out back in March. A lot of my friends said I did incredibly well keeping it in for so long, she said. But the word is out now and I'm simply over the moon. Tom has worked incredibly hard since he was a little boy, and to see him get this opportunity shows dreams do come true. Miss Major said she encouraged all her children to get involved with extracurricular activities growing up, with them all trying their hand at amateur dramatics with the Lowestoft Players. Tom first became interested when I took him along to his sister's rehearsals, said Miss Major. Ever since then, one of my daughters has gone on to direct the Players, and Tom has the security from landing this huge role. I'm so proud of my children. Mr. Major, who had recently finished his degree in Arts Ed in London, said the Lowestoft Players and Galston's D16 Performing Arts College gave him the space to explore the arts. They were both nothing short of great, he said. Being an actor is not a popular career choice for many people where I grew up. There's always been the concern of being out of work, not making any money and things like that. But so much has changed and there is more access to it. Growing up, I had no formal training, but amateur dramatics and studying in Galston really did open doors for me and I could not be more thankful. Auditioning for the role of Rodney felt just right, Mr. Major said. I didn't have a big brother like Del Boy growing up, but my sisters used to drag me along into their little games. One time, one of my sisters made me dress up in a Playboy bunny outfit and pose for the camera. It was all fun and games on the day. But every birthday, she'll be sure to get the photos out so people can have a chuckle at me. She'll never let me live that down. In preparation for the massive tour, Mr. Major said he is revisiting classic episodes of the popular sitcom. As well as key moments, including the Troppers dropping the priceless chandelier and Del Boy falling through the bar, Mr. Major said his favourite moment was when Rodney, Del Boy and Grandad spent the night in a DIY nuclear fallout shelter on top of Nelson Mandela House. Well, that's some good news for a change. Wet spring blamed for overgrown verges. A wet spring has been blamed for the rise in overgrown grass verges and weeds sprouting from roads. Maintenance workers in Great Yarmouth Borough Council are 2 weeks behind schedule due to the unprecedented grass growth brought about by an exceptionally wet spring. A council spokesman said, "The unseasonal weather has seen unprecedented grass growth and has made it difficult for us to keep up with grass cutting across the borough. Our teams are currently 2 weeks behind their usual schedule and we're sorry for any inconvenience this is causing." New measures have been put in place to help crews catch up on the long grass backlog. However, the spokesperson said, "The increased rain means the grass is longer than usual when it is cut, which means it is taking longer to complete." This comes as people across the borough complained about overgrown grass and a lack of spraying weeds to keep nuisance growth at bay. The spokesperson said the weather has led to the weeds growing faster than usual. And an open day at our hospital. The James Paget University Hospital is throwing open its doors to offer a tour to people curious about what goes on its wards and various medical departments. The open day event at the hospital in Galston is set to take place on June the 29th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. This family-friendly occasion promised to be educational and interactive, with guided tours around numerous departments within the hospital. These insightful visits will provide a look behind the scenes at areas including its pharmacy, maternity suite, theatres and CT, MRI and X-ray departments, among others. Tours are available for booking on arrival and will start at the Burridge Centre. Alongside this, Attendees can also visit the Louise Hamilton Centre, which serves as a hub for various support groups. An array of interactive stalls will be present, and the Norfolk and Waveney Wellbeing on Wheels bus will be offering additional support and distributing information. Joe Segersby, Chief Executive of the James Paget, said, "We're looking back to the brilliant summer events our hospital has held over its history and are very excited to host our first open day for a number of years. The day will be a unique chance for all the family to find out how our services work and the brilliant work our staff provide in caring for our patients, as well as find out more about our vision for a new hospital in the future. Throughout the day, cakes and refreshments will be available for purchase. The hospital is also welcoming donations towards the James Paget Hospital Charity Robot Appeal, a campaign aimed at funding a new surgical robot. Parking will be free for all attendees from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Car Park E, providing convenient access to the event. The success of the recent Out There Festival that lured crowds with its dazzling array of circus, comedy and culture was down to its events team, a delighted organiser has said. The festival, now in its 16th year, brought a breath of international talent to Great Yarmouth. Numbers swelled to around 40,000 over the weekend of May the 30th to June the 1st, despite challenging weather conditions. Marcin Rodwell, Communications and Audience Development Manager, credited the success of this year's festival to the event's dedicated team. He said, "We faced numerous challenges to the festival this year. We are seeing funding for arts and culture diminished to zero in some cases. To be able to still produce the region's biggest outdoor arts and circus festival is such an incredible opportunity for the town, and it's thanks to our incredible team who work on the festival tirelessly throughout the year. The range of performances from 34 artists across 9 different countries included the final show of Mark and Sarah Copeland's Insect Circus and Marisa Karneski's theatrical Show Women. The festival, unique to Great Yarmouth, offered something for everyone with more than 100 performances from circus tricks to Greek tragedy, topped off with a bingo-style comedy show." Joe McIntosh, Chief Executive of Out There Arts, praised the resilience of the festival despite harsh fundraising conditions. He said, "We still offered the biggest free festival in the region and pretty much the largest programme of circus in the UK. Looking to the future, fans will be marking their calendars as next year's festival is set to run from May the 28th to June the 3rd, coinciding with half term and the grand opening of the historic Ice House. It's still to be decided if a programme for the additional Sunday will be added." A bid for new housing in Caister Village has been refused over concerns about creating an awkward relationship between neighbours. Graham Doggett was seeking permission from Great Yarmouth Borough Council to build 2 houses on land south of Garfield Villa in Garfield Terrace on Yarmouth Road in Caister. The site is an area of fenced off land which is overgrown with scrub and surrounded by houses. According to the plans, access to the new houses would have cut through what is now the parking and driveway area to a neighbouring house on Garfield Terrace. It was this aspect of the proposal which concerned planners, who said it would create an awkward relationship between the two houses. Another problem was the potential for noise and disruption to the occupants of that same house. The application had faced 7 objections. Caister Parish Council raised concern about overdevelopment of the site, while neighbours flagged the potential for noise and disturbance from additional traffic plus overlooking between houses and flooding from increased surface runoff water. Since 1990, the council has considered 14 planning applications for the site. 9 of the proposals were refused, most recently in January 2023, after Mr. Doggett had applied to build a detached 4-bedroom house there. And back to the theatre again. This is all about the theatre touring Norfolk. An acclaimed novelist is returning to his roots with a major new plan touring Norfolk and Suffolk venues during this month. Jeremy Page, whose award-winning books include The Wake and New York to California, has made a rare venture into theatre writing with Elephant. It tells the story of recluse Manny, who lives alone in a house on a crumbling cliff in North Norfolk. He gets an unexpected visit from his sister Jessie, who has brought with her the local villain Lee Farrier, trussed up in a sack. When they are joined by Callie, a figure from Jessie's past, things start to fall apart. The play is performed by Feast Theatre, one of the region's leading touring companies. Page, who lives in London but grew up in North Norfolk, said, "Norfolk formed me and still inspires me. Certainly the coastal aspect of Norfolk has always fascinated me." The upcoming shows are throughout Norfolk and South Suffolk, starting in Aylsham on June the 19th. Locally, it will be at St George's Theatre in Great Yarmouth on June the 25th and the Seagull Theatre in Lowestoft on June the 29th. And you can book tickets at feasttheatre.com. A Great Yarmouth man has denied assaulting a woman and threatening to disclose sexual photos. Tyrone Lee, 61, of Spencer Avenue, pleaded not guilty at Norwich Crown Court to assault occasional actual bodily harm against a woman on August the 10th last year. He also denied threatening to disclose private sexual images with the intent to cause distress. Recorder David Herbert set a date for him to stand trial on October the 13th next year. He was given conditional bail. This is all about some lovely school pupils. Sir David Lord's Ormiston pupils. Pupils at Ormiston Cliff Park Primary Academy in Galston have received accommodation from Sir David Attenborough for their green efforts. The Year 4 pupils, as part of their eco initiatives, had penned letters to Sir David, their environmental role model, explaining the projects they were undertaking to bolster their surroundings. They were delighted to get 2 acknowledgements from him, applauding their contribution. The letters are now framed and displayed in the Academy's entrance area for visitors to appreciate. The Academy's eco work commenced in 2022 with the launch of a woodland walk honouring Queen Elizabeth II's Platinum Jubilee. In a bid to enhance their green spaces, unused terrains were transformed into woodland storytelling gardens under the guidance of the school council. The garden, adorned with wooden toadstool seats and a reading shed made of predominantly recycled material, offers a serene environment for students and wildlife. The Academy's other project was a quiet garden, abundant with vibrant flowers and tranquil corners for the students. The Academy is also planning to craft an eco-themed elephant named after Sir David. Louise Watkins, principal at Ormiston Cliff Park Ormiston Academy, said, "It was so wonderful to see how excited and overjoyed our pupils were when we received a letter from Sir David Attenborough. He is a true hero and inspiration to many of our children and has helped them to encourage and inspire them to take a real interest in the environment and the world around them. It's also been such a pleasure to see our children really engaging with nature and to see their delight as we transform our outdoor space into an exciting garden for them to enjoy with their peers. We are also enormously grateful to our wider school community who have supported our fundraising activities to enable the creation of our different eco projects. It was a building that gained a cult following, famous for its infamously bad wax sculptures. Yes, I remember them, long while ago. Now traders in Great Yarmouth are concerned rough sleepers by the former Louis de Sword's House of Wax are costing them business and making customers avoid nearby shops. It was reported over the past several weeks, more and more people have been using the outside of the former Waxworks Museum in Regent Road as a place to drink alcohol, argue and sleep for the night. A nearby business owner, who wished to remain anonymous, said people sleeping rough in the area is impacting trade. "We are a seasonal town and we need to make our money this time of the year," the trader said. "When they are loitering and making lots of noise, it will have a knock-on effect and people won't want to come inside the shops." With the ongoing cost of living crisis, people are trying to do what they can, and this doesn't help. I would like to see something done about it as the season continues. The trader also raised concerns that as the people sleeping in the old museum's doorway are out of shot of CCTV cameras, traders are afraid to ask them to move elsewhere. Dennis Gavin, who has been trading on Regent Road for the past 20 years, said he has seen a sharp rise in people sleeping rough in the area. "I feel a bit sorry for them," said Mr. Gavin. "More and more of them are young men, no older than in their early 20s. They just go in there to sleep. It's difficult. I mean them no harm, but it puts people off." Mr. Gavin said while the people sleeping rough around the museum are not much of a disturbance during the daytime, they often drink in the street, argue and can be noisy in the evenings. He added, "People might not feel comfortable walking around here at night." For more than 50 years, Louis Tussaud's House of Wax was a touristic staple in the town, attracting thousands of visitors and media coverage from around the globe. Building their collection over decades and featuring celebrities such as Mr. Bean, Frank Bruno and Jason Donovan, husband and wife Peter and Jane Hayes amassed more than 150 waxworks. The museum gained a cult following for its assortment of garish, barely lookalikes, including a chamber of horrors containing effigies of the likes of Peter Sutcliffe, Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini. Mr. and Mrs. Hayes decided to close it in 2012. Then in their 80s, the couple were unable to find buyers for the attraction and later turned the building into a home. The entire waxworks collection was snapped up by a private buyer in Czechia 2 years later. And just to finish off, another birthday card I recently received. So I shall read this out to you because it made me laugh, well, or cry. And it's headed, "Do you remember?" Fish and chips wrapped in a newspaper. Glass bottles with a refundable deposit. 78 RPM records. Party telephone lines. Milk delivered in glass bottles. Television in black and white only. Beat bobbies both day and night. The coal man delivering. Shilling in the slot utility meters. Your GP making house calls. Television rental services. Scouts and guides Bob a Job Week. 2 films shown per sitting. Conductors on the buses and usherettes at the cinema. And you open it up and it said, "If you remember all 15, you're, well, say no more." And thanks for that, Trevor. He used to be a friend of mine.
Well, that's it for this week's edition, which is copyright 2024 of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accept responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. Don't forget, you can contact us from our website at grapevinegy.org if you have any queries over our service. Your newsreader next week will be Andrew, so we hope for your company then for much more of your local news. In the meantime, from all of us here at Grapevine, stay safe and well, and bye for now.